Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 55 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Michael Green.
So I think he's running a very organized campaign. I think his work ethic is really good.
Kentucky's House Minority Leader is campaigning for the Democratic gubernatorial hopeful.
Governor Matt Bevin announced road aid for some northeastern Kentucky counties.
Voters think drug companies have influence over some Kentucky politicians.
Police in Moorhead arrested a suspected heroin dealer this weekend.
Heavy rain led to dozens of crashes on Lexington roads this weekend.
In sports, just district soccer action begins tonight across the 16th region.
But Luke has the stock report.
A 10% chance of showers this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with a low around 48. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Kentucky's House Minority Leader has been busy campaigning with gubernatorial hopeful Andy Beshear. Rocky Adkins promised to support the Democratic nominee when he lost his bid to oppose incumbent Matt Bevin in May. Adkins feels like Andy Beshear's campaign is resonating with the people they meet in Kentucky communities.
And I can tell you it's a long way across Kentucky, yes. But, you know, if you just look in our region, just the Moorhead area, you know, Andy Beshear's been here many, many times, he and Jacqueline both. And I think that's what people want to see. They want to see you. They want to be able to look at you and talk to you and feel like they know who you are and be able to look at you eyeball to eyeball and talk about issues that are important to them.
Adkins hopes to see more people vote in the November 5th election. Only 17% of the Commonwealth's registered voters participated in the May primary.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin announced road improvements coming to Greenup and Boyd counties Saturday. WSAZ reports $937,000 in discretionary funds have been awarded to Greenup County and the cities of Greenup, Raceland, Russell, South Shore, Worthington, and Wirtland for local roadway improvements. This comes as part of what Bevin says is a commitment to prioritize transportation infrastructure projects. Along numerous smaller projects, the funds include putting $266,000 towards resurfacing county roads, North Fork Road and East Tigret Road in Greenup.
Republican Governor Matt Bevin and his Democratic challenger, Attorney General Andy Beshear, went head-to-head in their first official debate last Thursday. The pair squared off over who could create a more competitive Kentucky, with Beshear again pressing for expanded gaming and medical marijuana as potential sources of revenue to shore up the state's lagging retirement systems.
We talk about being competitive. Other states are eating our lunch. It's Tennessee that just authorized sports betting. It is Indiana that has leached money off of us. And if you go right over the river, there's Metropolis. And I bet if you go into that parking lot, almost every single license plate is from Kentucky.
Bevin responded by downplaying the amount of funding Beshear's ideas would bring in.
But these things are not solutions. They're fool's gold is what they are. Would they generate some revenue? Arguably, but this assumes there's no societal cost for these things.
Held in Paducah, the debate focused mostly on budget and financial questions, staying away from social issues like abortion that have been central in Bevin's campaign. Kentuckians are set to go to the polls November 5th.
A new poll from AARP finds 83% of Kentucky voters age 50 and older think drug companies have influence over their governor and state legislators. The findings come as incumbent Republican Governor Matt Bevin and Democratic challenger Attorney General Andy Beshear battle to win the confidence of Kentucky voters this fall. Ohio County resident and retiree Charlotte Whitaker says she's feeling burdened by the ballooning costs of her medications.
And my doctor recently, when I was with her, she said, how can I treat someone when I know they cannot afford the prescription they need to be on? You know, where's that put the medical world when they want to help their patients, but yet their patients cannot afford these pricey drugs?
Healthcare costs tend to increase with age. Many Commonwealth residents age 50 and older are being forced to make tough choices, such as buying food or paying for their medications. According to the survey, nearly 9 out of 10 older Kentuckians say prescription drug companies are making too much profit, and almost as many say elected officials aren't doing enough to curb costs.
A leading Democratic lawmaker in the Kentucky Senate is taking up the issue of compensation for student athletes. The lawmaker's bill is similar to one recently passed in California. The Golden State's Fair Pay to Play Act tackles the issue by preventing the NCAA from punishing student athletes who accept endorsement deals or other outside compensation. State Senator Morgan McGarvey tells LAX 18 his bill is modeled closely on the California law and is meant to send a message to the NCAA.
My hope is that this spurs the NCAA to take action on something where they've buried their head in the sand for too long. They've got to deal with this, and ultimately I think most state lawmakers would like to see the NCAA resolve this issue.
University of Kentucky men's basketball coach John Calipari refrained from taking sides on the matter at a media event last week, but sounded concerned about the unintended effects, such as student athletes stopping their education. Lawmakers are set to return to Frankfurt in January.
Parents and family gathered Sunday at UK Hospital to honor the memories of some children who were taken too soon. WKYT reports the NICU and labor and delivery units hosted a walk to remember the babies who have died. The annual memorial service started in 1988. Families were able to write notes to their children and reunite with nurses, caregivers, and doctors. Parents like Danelle and Wesley Carruthers were in attendance. They only spent 7.5 months with their son, Colson, at a UK hospital. Carruthers says the walk allows patients with similar experiences to bond.
There's actually a woman in, that was actually next door to us. Her son passed away 2 months before our son did.
They are happy to have this support system and still regularly talk to the nurses and doctors that cared for Colson. This year's tree planting for the walk will be planted near the Flight 5191 Memorial at the Arboretum within the next few days.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
A Lexington man was arrested in Moorhead on Saturday for trafficking heroin and methamphetamine. The Moorhead Police Department responded to a call about a male subject armed with a handgun near Arby's on Main Street. 31-year-old Cody Mudrinick allegedly brandished the firearm during a verbal altercation. He was arrested at an area hotel. Several officers were able to take him into custody without incident. Officer Ron Overstreet found a large amount of suspected heroin, meth, cash, and a firearm to be in the subject's possession at the time of his arrest. Mudrinick was arrested for an outstanding warrant and trafficking in controlled substances. He's being held in the Round County Detention Center on a $10,000 bond.
Detectives with the FADE Drug Task Force executed a search warrant in the 500 block of Robert and Mary Street in Grayson last week. Detectives seized more than 3 pounds of marijuana, along with a large quantity of cash and several firearms. In a news release, FADE officials say they have charged a yet unnamed man with 3 felony counts of marijuana trafficking within 1,000 feet of a school. FADE detectives continue to investigate, and other charges are pending. Detectives encourage the public to contact them anonymously at 606-836-0442 about any illegal drug activity in Carter and Greenup counties.
A Pike County woman wanted on charges of manufacturing methamphetamine was arrested in Floyd County on Friday. According to the Martin City Police, 49-year-old Tracy Tackett of Clevenger Branch, Pikeville, was arrested at the Family Dollar store in Martin. Authorities tell Mountaintop Media Tackett was wanted on 2 outstanding arrest indictment warrants out of Floyd County, charging manufacturing meth, possession of a controlled substance, unlawful possession of a meth precursor, among other charges. Tackett was lodged in the Floyd County Jail.
Lexington police responded to dozens of reported car crashes during the heavy rainfall over the weekend. According to WKYT, LPD reported 13 injury crashes and 36 non-injury crashes as of around 9 p.m. Sunday night. Some of those crashes required the jaws of life to get victims free. Lexington Fire Department Battalion Chief Jordan Sass says drivers should pay extra close attention to the roads during conditions like these.
Make sure you're constantly scanning the area in front of you and to your sides and behind you. That way, you're aware of your surroundings and how they are constantly changing.
Police say two weather-related crashes occurred within minutes of each other around 4 p.m. on Sunday. Three people were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. Officials are warning drivers to take every safety precaution possible.
One person died in a house fire in Ashland on Saturday evening. Boyd County Coroner Mark Hammond tells WSAZ his office was called to a fire on the 1900 block of Central Avenue. The identity of the deceased individual has not yet been released. Crews were on the scene most of the evening into early Sunday investigating a cause which has not yet been determined. Central Avenue was shut down for several blocks around the scene into Sunday morning.
Lightning was suspected of starting two house fires Sunday in Madison County. The Waco Fire Department posted about the fires on Facebook. According to WKYT, officials said Sunday was a busy day for them, including structure fires from lightning strikes. The fire department did not mention any injuries as a result of the fires.
A Kentucky jury has awarded $1.2 million in damages to a police lieutenant after she said the department failed to investigate and discipline a separate lieutenant who sent her sexually explicit photos. The Courier-Journal reports that Lieutenant Robert Shadle was suspended in 2016 without pay for 20 days for conduct unbecoming of an officer for texting photos to Lieutenant Jill Hume. Hume sued the police department after alleging the commanding officers failed to take appropriate action. The department's spokeswoman declined to comment. Attorney Thomas Clay said Hume was beyond overjoyed. The Friday decision is the second significant verdict returned against Louisville Metro Police last week. On Wednesday, another jury awarded $2.25 million to a former University of Louisville student who said a detective wrongfully arrested her 12 years ago.
Kentucky State Police say they have solved a 40-year-old rape case. Here's KNN's Paul Miles.
Police arrested 71-year-old Henry Glore of Paducah. He's accused of raping his sister 40 years ago. The girl was 15 years old at the time, and she became pregnant and birthed a child. State police detectives obtained DNA samples from Henry Glore, his sister, and his daughter, and that led to his arrest. Glore has been charged with both incest and third-degree rape. He was being held in the McCracken County Jail. I'm Paul Miles.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast, tonight a 30% chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 48. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 66. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 50. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 74. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 54. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 76. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 54.
Taking a look at your region's current temperatures, it's 56 degrees in Mount Sterling, 57 in Winchester, 58 in Lexington, 56 in Ashland and Inez. It's 55 in Grayson, and it's 55 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. On our feature segment today, Our Island Universe looks at the beginning of the space race.
On October 4, 1957, Sputnik 1 was launched by the Soviet Union, demonstrating to all that humans were now capable of beating gravity that had confined us to the surface of the planet for all of our history. I'm Chanel Varani, director of the Star Theater at Morehead State University's Space Science Center and host of Our Island Universe. The launch of Sputnik 1 was a monumental achievement, one that ushered in a new technical and scientific developments, but also one that fundamentally changed the political landscape and the arc of our history. Sputnik, a 23-inch polished metal sphere with four radio antennae to broadcast its radio pulses, caught the American public by surprise. It orbited for 3 weeks, sending out its welcome note before its batteries died. Its radio signal was easily detectable even by radio amateurs, and the nature of its orbit made its flight path cover virtually the entire inhabited Earth. The satellite's unanticipated success precipitated the American Sputnik crisis and triggered the space race, a part of the Cold War. 2 months later, when the first American attempt to launch an artificial satellite fell back to the launch pad and exploded, American fears deepened as the failure was humiliating and a loss of prestige. 4 years later, the Soviets were successful in launching the first human into space when Yuri Gagarin completed one orbit of Earth on April 12, 1961. The United States may not have been the world leader in science and technology that we thought we were. However, the launch of Sputnik 1 and its successful 21-day mission spurred the United States into action. In its aftermath, NASA was created and precipitated a significant investment by the U.S. government in scientific research and education. The federal government began investing in science, engineering, and mathematics at all levels of education as part of President Eisenhower's National Defense Education Act. This program provided low-interest loans for college students majoring in math and science. But more than that, Sputnik also inspired a generation of engineers and scientists, many of whom would be instrumental in accomplishing one of humanity's greatest feats, landing a man on the moon and bringing him back. Our Island Universe is produced by WMKY in cooperation with Physics, Earth Science, and Space Systems Engineering at Morehead State University, home to the Ronald G. Eaglin Space Science Center. Learn more at moreheadstate.edu/StarTheater.
Chanel Virani is an astrophysicist and the director of Morehead State University's Star Theater. It's 4:47 and 54 degrees here on the campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Michael Green and Keneally Roberts, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this soggy Monday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Morehead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook and online at moreheadrecycling.org.
District soccer action begins tonight in the 16th region for WMKY Sports on Tom Martin. The 61st District Soccer Tournament begins tonight in Round County. Bath and Fleming counties meet for the first time, with the boys' game at 6 p.m. and the girls to follow at 8 p.m. Rounds boys head coach Max Hammond says tonight's game is a toss-up.
Bath County probably has the edge on that one, but they played Fleming County earlier in the season, beat them 7-2, I think. Performances can kind of go up and down, but I still expect Bath to have an edge, especially when they get on turf. I think that's a pretty good advantage for Bath County, where they've got a really nice turf facility over there now. But Fleming County does have some good players and, you know, played us pretty well. So I could definitely see that being a tight game and it being anybody's game at the end.
The Fleming girls beat the Lady Cats 10-0 during regular season play. The winners in tonight's game will advance to the championship round on Thursday and the regional tournament next week. West Carter plays host to the 62nd District Tournament this week. East Carter faces off with Greenup County tonight at 6 p.m. The Raiders are expected to win the matchup since the Musketeers went 0-17 during regular season play. The Lady Raiders beat Greenup 9-0 when the two teams met back in August. That game is set to begin tonight at 8 in Olive Hill. Ashland Blazers boys will host Russell tonight to open 63rd District play. The 4-13 Tomcats square off with the Red Devils at 6 p.m. Russell stands at 9-11 on regular season play. Russell and Boyd face off in the first round of the girls' 63rd District Tournament. The Red Devils beat the Lady Lions in regular season play. Game time tonight at Ashland Blazer is set for 8 p.m. Following a three-week hiatus, Morehead State women's golf returned to the course today, looking for another top-five finish to start the season. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
The Eagles teed off this morning at the NKU Fall Classic. Monday and Tuesday's trip to the course marks the third straight season Morehead State has competed at the NKU Fall Classic. Individually, the Eagles have had success at the event in recent years, claiming three individual top 10 finishes the last 2 years. Morehead State returns to the course after hosting the MSU Greenbrier Invitational at Greenbrier Country Club in Lexington. The Eagles finished fifth at the event. In addition to Morehead State and host Northern Kentucky, the nine-team field will also include Bellarmine, Dayton, Eastern Illinois, Green Bay, Illinois-Chicago, IUPUI, and UNC-Asheville. Overall, 57 total players will comprise the NKU Fall Classic field. The 36-hole event features an opening round to be played Monday and the final round coming Tuesday. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
Morehead State soccer dropped two tough conference games on the road over the weekend. The Eagles also lost some key starters to injury.
That was a physical battle that kind of leads into our Sunday game because we lost two of our defenders to injuries, Caitlin Setters and Evan Kays. Got injured in that match. We're not able to play on Sunday. So we talked about the injuries and how things were going last week, and this week they really hit us hard and they affected us.
The Eagles are off most of the week for fall break. They next hit the field on Friday when the UT Martin Skyhawks come to town at 6 p.m. Morehead State football is looking to regroup after a disappointing 42-21 home loss to Davidson on Saturday. It's fourth straight game the Eagles have given up 42 or more points, but MSU isn't just struggling on defense. Head coach Rob Tenyer says his team made some key mental mistakes against Davidson.
Two of the drives offensively that we didn't score on today, we had two personal fouls in the red zone after the whistle, you know. And whether it should have been an offsetting or not, it wasn't. We got caught with our hand in the cookie jar, and it ruined both those drives. One drive, we were on the 8-yard line.
The Eagles are back in action Saturday. They head to Florida for a 1 p.m. kickoff against Jacksonville. Morehead State's cross-country team competed in Louisville this week. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has the story.
Senior Jarrett Mattingly clocked the fourth fastest 8K time in program history on Saturday to lead the Morehead State cross-country teams at the Greater Louisville Classic at E.P. Tom Sawyer State Park. Traditionally, it's one of the fastest courses the Eagles compete on. Mattingly covered the ground this time in around 24 minutes and 17.3 seconds, good enough for 22nd place among a gigantic field of 373 finishers. Senior Shelby Watkins paced the women's team with a time of 18 minutes and 26.3 seconds in the 5K race. Both teams are now off until October 19th when they travel to the Evansville Invitational. For WMKY Sports, I'm Wyatt Melton reporting.
And finally in sports this afternoon, the owners of the historic racetrack that hosts the Preakness Stakes and Baltimore Officials have reached an agreement to keep the Triple Crown Series middle jewel in the city. Baltimore Mayor Bernard Jack Young on Saturday announced the deal with the Stronic Group. To take effect, the agreement must be approved by the General Assembly during its next session. Under the plan, Stronic Group would build a new clubhouse at the dilapidated Pimlico racecourse and demolish the deteriorated grandstand. Training and stable operations would be consolidated at the company's track in Laurel, about 20 miles southwest of Baltimore. The agreement ends the dispute between the operator and the city. Baltimore this year filed and later withdrew a lawsuit asking court to grant it ownership of the track and race through condemnation. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball hosts Eastern Kentucky at 6 p.m. Wednesday and Austin Peay at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Soccer welcomes UT Martin at 6 p.m. on Friday and Southeast Missouri at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell slightly as investors looked ahead to U.S.-China trade talks, which are set to begin later this week. And the Dow Industrials did show a loss of 96.11 at 26,477.61. The S&P 500 was down 13.23 at 2938.78, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 26.18 at 7956.29. The indices all alternated between slight gains and losses for most of the session before closing lower. A weekend report suggested Chinese officials were increasingly reluctant to agree to a broad trade deal pursued by President Trump. The lead negotiator from China actually told dignitaries that his offer to the U.S. will not include commitments on reforming Chinese industrial policy or government subsidies. And trade talks between the U.S. and China are set to resume in Washington on Thursday, and deputy-level talks kicked off today. And the world's two largest economies have, of course, imposed tariffs on billions of dollars worth of one another's goods since the start of 2018, battering financial markets and souring business and consumer sentiment. In corporate news, ConocoPhillips rose more than 2% after the company raised its quarterly dividend by almost 38% to 42 cents a share. The stock was among the best performers in the S&P 500, and Uber Technologies climbed more than 2% after an analyst at Citigroup upgraded the ride-sharing service to buy from neutral, citing a, quote, favorable risk-reward outlook. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.25% at $52.94 a barrel. Gold was down 1% at $1,497.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a pretty good day with the Stock 600 index up 0.7%. That was not the case in Asia, as most markets were lower, with the Hang Seng down 1.8% and the Shanghai Composite down almost 1%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 4 cents at 42.02, Kroger up 4 cents at 24.83, CSX up 8 cents at 66.79, Marathon Petroleum down 35 cents at 60.39, and Anthem was down 77 cents to finish at 241.02. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Taking a look at some events coming up in the region, the Rowan County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, October 7th, that's this evening, at the Rowan County Public Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or a related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and information about caregiving issues. Coffee Tree Books, Main Street in Moorhead, will host a reading and book signing by author Misty Skaggs from 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturday, October 12th. The Elliott County native will read from her new book, Planted by the Signs. The event is open to the public. The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling presents an international spotlight dinner celebrating the food, fashion, music, and culture of Argentina on Saturday, October 12th. Dinner begins at 6 p.m. and tickets are $25. The Rowan County Public Library is hosting a literary pumpkin pageant where individuals of all ages are invited to paint a pumpkin of a storybook character or book theme. Pumpkins will be displayed at the library for voting. Prizes will be awarded, and the deadline to enter is October the 15th. The Moorhead Theater Guild invites you to celebrate the Halloween season with Dining with the Dead, October 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. The three-part event begins at the Old Town Cemetery, where characters from Moorhead's past rise from their graves and share stories. Dinner follows at the Rowan County Arts Center, and the evening ends with a ghost walk in downtown Moorhead. Tickets at 783-9857 or online at moorheadtheater.org. It's not recommended for children under 5 years old. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Zoe Hall, Jonathan Burton, Keneally Roberts, Cody Robinson, Wyatt Melton, and Ty Martin. K&N's Paul Miles, UKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, And our feature segment today came from MSU Star Theater Director Chanel Verani. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Michael Green and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.